friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei has had a record-breaking year, and he'll be in the spotlight Saturday when he makes his debut at the World Athletics Half Marathon Championships in Poland. The 24-year-old Cheptegei will lead a strong Ugandan team that's expected to challenge the traditionally powerful Kenyan and Ethiopian squads. And we can expect Kenya and Ethiopia to dominate the women's race, with each team including a world record holder at the distance. The energetic Andy Edwards previews the competition.
There is much talk about what Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei can do when he runs his first half marathon race on Saturday, coming from a season when he has twice removed the name of Kenenisa Bekele from the record books, having broken the Ethiopian's long-standing world marks at 5 and 10,000 metres. But this is not going to be a stroll for any means for him. Impressively, as he has performed over the last few seasons, winning the 10,000-meter world title and world cross-country crown. His teammate, the 19-year-old Jacob Kiplimo, is a rising star and has beaten Cheptegei at cross-country more than once. The Ugandan team has strength in depth, with solid performers such as Moses Kibet, Stephen Kissa and Victor Kiplangat. Packing, as it's called in terms of the team prize, is crucial. That is, how well each and every individual can perform for the collective effort and point scoring. This collective aim is a point emphasised by Joshua Cheptegei, reflecting on the group effort of the training base in Kapchorwa in Uganda, the work of their Dutch coach, Ade Ruta, and the management team of Global Sports Communications.
I think this is just like it's a foundation of what can still happen and what I want to achieve in the years to come.
All this is about having the right people around you, and it builds up to something great, you know.
The Kenyan and Ethiopian teams will take a lot of beating, however. Head coach for Kenya on this trip to Poland is Patrick Macau, a familiar to marathon connoisseurs as a former world record holder in Berlin. Despite the absence of the title holder, Jeffrey Kamworor, recovering from a motorcycle accident, Kenya has an impressive lineup, headed by Kibiwot Kandi, fastest man at half marathon in the world this year, with his 58 minutes 38 to win the Prague title last month, and having won the prestigious Ras Al Khaimah title in the Emirates in February. Bernard Kimeli and Bernard Ngeno are specialists at this distance, and there isn't a weak link in the team. The same can also be said of the Ethiopian men, although there are questions about Geye Adola, whose career performances can fluctuate. He ran Eliud Kipchoge close in the 2017 Berlin Marathon, achieving the fastest ever marathon debut. He also has a bronze medal from the World Half Marathon Championships 6 years ago, but he disappears off the international scene for long periods. We know more about the recent form of Behanu Legese, winner of the Tokyo Marathon this year. Haile Mariam Kiros won the national trial for Gedina for Ethiopia, and all should pose the Kenyans and Ugandans a strong Ethiopian threat. It will take a mighty effort from any other team to displace Kenya and Ethiopia, not necessarily in that order, from the top two team medals. There is just as much talent throughout for the women's field. Uniquely in the history of the championships, two current world record holders compete for the distance. Peres Chepchichir of Kenya ran 65 minutes 34 to win the women-only half marathon in Prague last month, while Ethiopia's Ababel Yeshane went 3 seconds faster at the Ras Al Khaimah event in February. Chepchichir won this world title 4 years ago, and there are other contenders to be taken into account. Continuing the theme of Kenya and Ethiopia rivalry for individual and team honours, Netsanet Gudeta won the gold for Ethiopia 2 years ago, beating Kenya's Jocelyn Chepkoske into second. If neither has quite returned to their form of a couple of years ago, current restrictions caused by the pandemic may well be the main reason. The World Half Marathon Championships have a reputation for both making new stars and confirming the excellence of established performers. The stage looks ripe for Joshua Cheptegei to provide further proof of his excellence, but the Ugandan will face a host of talented rivals for the men's title. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Serious realities indeed, Joshua. Now let's go to Joshua Cheptegei's home country of Uganda, where football administrators are cautiously optimistic about the return of the local league. They say the league, with no fans, will boost team morale, but also will have a huge negative economic impact on the teams. Magume Davis Rakawinge has more from the capital, Kampala. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny, and our listeners. Football players and officials will be mandated to COVID-19 tests ahead of league resumption late next month. They must also put on masks before and after games, as well as ensuring there are enough sanitization facilities at stadia and training facilities. They must also keep social distance, says Bernard Bainamani, the CEO of Uganda Premier League. Abu Asike, the spokesperson of Uganda defending champions, Vipers Football Club, says it is challenging to train while respecting the standard operating procedures put in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
We call half of the players. Let's say we have 30 players, we call in 15 today, then you call in 15 tomorrow. So that's how we are training. Until we do the final testing is when we shall resume a group training. But right now, we're training in bunches, 15 today, 15 tomorrow.
Football in Uganda was halted in March as a measure to stop the easy spread of COVID-19. Moses Magero Manje, the spokesperson of Kampala City Authority Football Club, last season runners-up, says players have been given training programs to train at home as they await for COVID-19 results. He's glad the league will soon resume so players can get back in shape ahead of international engagements, both for club and country.
We hope to have training resumed by next week if the results come back and they're good, the COVID results. And definitely we start practicing or training for the league that resumes on 20th November and also CAF games that resume late November. So we have games that are going to start, especially CAF. Our preparations haven't been as usual, so we need to work twice as hard as we've always done, because this time around it's not going to be business as usual. And now that we have most of our players, they've been off serious football.
Vipers FC's Wasike agrees.
Imagine they give you a team from South Africa or a team from Tanzania, teams that have been training, teams that have been playing football, and for you, you last played a match on March 7th. So it's hard. But we hope for the best going into our international engagements, and hope shall be fully fit when we start our CAF journey, and we are positive to pick up the results we want.
With fans expected not to get into stadia, at least for now, Wasike says it will be hard to defend their domestic crown. Bernard Ewalu Oruport is a spokesperson of SC Villa, arguably Uganda's most successful football club. He says his club is reaching out to supporters to buy membership cards that will help generate some income to fund club activities.
We are not as excited as we should be because A, there are no fans. B, you know, fans and funds. Because, you know, resuming football means testing very, very regularly, which is quite a cost. So I could say it's a bittersweet kind of thing. We are happy that football will come back at some point soon.
Bernard Bainamani, the CEO of Uganda Premier League, which organizes domestic league, says he's much aware of the concerns of clubs.
The league, through the federation and the National Council of Sports, are trying to engage government to see if maybe government can come in and help in testing these players and coaches and referees, or if they can use their laboratories which they are using to test other COVID cases as a country at a subsidized what? At a subsidized rate.
Bainamani also says the federation is looking at the possibility of bio-bubble, as was the case of the South African League, so teams can play while in camps. For the Sunday Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The Nigerian government has announced the lifting of the ban on football and other outdoor activities after 7 months of lockdown. The country's presidential task force on COVID-19 made the announcement in Abuja on Thursday. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted a media officer with the Nigeria Football Federation, Ayo Ibidapo.
It's a good one. A lot of people have been looking forward to this big news about the lifting of the ban on contact sports and football especially also. It's a good thing, and I'm sure it will bring so much back to life. A lot of people live on football. Players, officials, journalists, medical people, all encompassing. So certainly it is going to make everyone really happy and, really show that we're winning the war against COVID also in this part of the world. That's for number one.
Do you think the lifting of ban on football and other outdoor activities will assist Nigerian clubs involved in CAF events prepare for such tournaments?
Well, I think a lot of clubs will be happy. I understand a lot of them from last night when the ban was lifted, you know, even till this morning, have started releasing statements on when the camping or training camp will be reopened. That shows that they've been waiting, itching, you know, so I'm sure they will do that. Some of them have done COVID tests, which is now mandatory. It's part of the NCDC protocol on COVID-19 that must be kept. Some would have to do it again, or even after doing it earlier, they have to do it again, and frequent tests will always happen at that time. Apart from getting ready. So our CAF representatives, namely Enyimba, Rivers United, Plateau United and Kano Pillars, certainly will be using this to also prepare for the various tournaments they will be participating in. So I'm sure it's not just only Nigeria that has gone through this. It's world over. It's also going to affect potential opponents they will be playing. So, but you need to just focus. You need to prepare. I'm sure the Nigeria Football Federation and the league management company will also be thinking on how to get the league back very, very soon. I'm sure they are on that as we speak. So I know that it's going to be a welcoming news for our footballers who have been idle for the past months. Over 6 months, they've not played a single football, but now they can, and I'm sure they'll be eager to go and give their best on the pitch.
What's your advice to football clubs on the lifting of the ban on outdoor activities and how to cope playing without fans?
The 12th man on the pitch certainly are the fans. But unfortunately, because of COVID, we can't have them right now. So, but we're going to miss them a lot. We're going to miss the fans, their chanting, their support. When you look at the stands, when you're playing as a footballer, you always see your home team fans, supporters, urging you on. That will not be available. They will have to be urging you from their different homes on social media and what have you. So, but I'm sure the players can cope and the fans understand they need to be safe. So they will understand that very, very well. and the players can cope. Of course, they have to, the professionals, so they can cope. Sometimes they play, you know, behind closed doors when there are issues of sanction and all that. So I know that it's always not very interesting, but, well, there's nothing we can do right now. We just have to follow the protocol and follow the laws guiding COVID-19. So certainly we'll miss the fans. It's not just in Nigeria, like I said earlier. World over, in England, there are no fans. In Germany, there are no fans. In Spain, there are no fans. So it's just going to be the same. And hopefully with time, fans will return, you know, back to the stadiums. So definitely, I would also want to advise football clubs, well, to please observe all the NCDC protocols on COVID-19, all the laws guiding it. Please, let's not flout them. Let's not think, oh, wear your face mask when you're supposed to wear your face mask. Have sanitizers at every nook and cranny of the arena that they will be training and, of course, playing in the bus when they are moving. Try to always try to maintain social distancing as much as they can do. Well, I know how it is, but let's just try to see a way to curb this further spread of the disease. And I hope that at the end of the day, we'll be able to win this war permanently and we'll get our football fully back. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Ayo Ibidapo, media officer with the Nigeria Football Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings, everyone listening to the Voice of America. This is Ayo Olu Ibidapo. I am a media officer with the Nigeria Football Federation. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Continue to stay safe, please, and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thanks.
Thanks, Ayo. VOA's Jim Stevenson had judo, rugby, and women's soccer news in his latest Game Room sports package. But Jim tees off with this English golfer.
Yeah, I'm obviously over the moon to be standing here with this trophy. It's a dream come true, and just very happy that I could get over the line today.
A very special win for English golfer Tyrrell Hatton at the BMW PGA Championship. Hatton came into the final round 3 shots ahead of French challenger Victor Perez.
I knew I had to get off to a quick start. I was kind of like thinking, you know, you're 3 shots back starting the day. If you can pick up those 3 shots as early as possible, and obviously birding 2, eagling 4 got me right there. And whatever Terrell was doing, I was quite pleased with, regardless of whatever he was doing. I mean, if he was 3 under through 4 as well, then so be it, but I knew I was at least giving it a run.
Hatton was anticipating Perez to make a charge.
I kind of knew that he'd had a fast start, and I said I expect someone to make a hot start, and I've just had to stay patient and just allow myself to keep giving myself opportunities, and I feel like I did that pretty well today.
Hatton finished at 19 under par, 4 shots in front. Perez says while fans may see a big score difference, the actual playing difference is very small.
It's funny how close it might seem from being good to being poor, and I think it shows the quality of everybody playing on the European Tour, that you can have great weeks, and actually it's not that far from being a poor week in a sense, because the game is not that different. You get a bounce here and there, a putt here and there. Everybody's so good, you have to stay really patient and not, you know, judge yourself too much on how it's going, because it could go either way, really.
Hatton grew up not far from Wentworth and often came to one of the European Tour's flagship events as a young spectator. His childhood dream of one day winning the event came true.
It was a goal of mine in my career to win this trophy. And as a 5-year-old, obviously walking around, I hope that I'll be playing this event one day. And to be standing here with this is extremely special and very thankful.
We want you back. So England, they're hopefully just on a loan to you.
U.S. National Women's Soccer League Commissioner Lisa Baird wants English clubs to know they can't keep U.S. Women's National Team members for long. But she understands why they went there to play.
Let's be honest. We had a disrupted season because of COVID. These are enormously talented players, you know, arguably the best in the world. And the season structure gave them an opportunity to get a bigger competition in.
Two-time USA World Cup winner Alex Morgan made a surprising last-minute move to London WSL side Tottenham Hotspur in September for the 2020-21 season. The 31-year-old gave birth to daughter Charlie in May and wanted to be ready to play in the rescheduled Olympics next year. Morgan is one of five United States internationals who have joined English clubs, seeking to play after this season's National Women's Soccer League was canceled due to COVID-19.
Well, wanted all our players to stay here. I'm recognizing the fact that we have a postponed Olympics and there's a big season in front of these women.
The U.S. Women's National Soccer League was the first professional team sport in the United States to return to the field amid the pandemic with June's Challenge Cup tournament. And the league is currently running an 18-match fall series. Stand up! Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Australia's rugby team has a new look after manager Dave Rennie selected just two players that participated in the 2018 Rugby World Cup in Japan. One of them is Wallabies captain Michael Hooper.
We've got 44 guys in this squad. COVID aside, it would have felt different. COVID as well. It's just, everything's shuffled, everything's changed, and it's... we've been able to play on that a bit and enjoy the change that's come. And with that change, there's new coaching staff, a lot of new players in the environment and a new level of enthusiasm around, doing some things that we've talked about as a team and what we want to be recognised as.
New Zealand has not lost to Australia in 34 years at Auckland's notoriously hostile stadium, which will be near capacity Sunday with 47,000 fans.
We've got to play a game. Like, that's where we're at now. It's time to put what we've been doing we've been talking as a group for a long period of time, but training for 3 or 4 weeks now, it's time to play. We're ready to go.
Relations between the Australian and New Zealand rugby boards has sunk to an all-time low after months of public bickering, and that's making emotions run high for the second test. Judo, Japan's very own art of self-defense and an Olympic sport for more than a half century, is certain to be a highlight at next year's Tokyo Games. But it is also drawing heightened scrutiny over widespread allegations of violence, injuries, and abuse. Yasuhiro Yamashita, a member of the International Olympic Committee and head of the All Japan Judo Federation, acknowledged the problems were serious, with injuries happening during punishment and training.
Judo is normally a safe and safe sport. Therefore, judo is a very dangerous sport.
I think judo basically must be safe and secure. I feel it is sad that judo is being perceived as an extremely dangerous sport, and Japan's judo world must take this seriously. But let me say that we've been working on that problem of preventing injuries and deaths with a committee very seriously for the last 6 years or so. Yamashita is a judo legend himself, overcoming a leg injury to win the gold medal in the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics, limping to the award ceremony podium. Tomu Hamana, three-time world judo kata champion and an instructor of Hamana Dojo in Kanagawa Prefecture, believe that pushing a kind of judo that is to stick to fundamentals, gentle, fun, and inclusive for old people and children is important for the sport. As Master Jigoro Kano said, the techniques of judo, I think, are not something that results to injury. No way there will be injury. But that comes with learning the basics of judo thoroughly. But probably there may be instructors who are skipping such basics. Keiko Kobayashi, a representative of the Judo Victims Association, stresses safe judo is possible, noting that not a single child has been reported to have died from judo in the last 20 years in the United States, France, Australia, and the UK. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Hi,
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And that wraps up the October 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice weekend, everyone. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.